Tonight's shiur, Parshas Bamidbar. Sedra starts out, in the Be'er Hashem L'Moshe B'midbar Sinai, Hashem spoke to Moshe in the desert of Sinai. Be'ol Moed B'achad L'chor Sheshni B'shana Sheinis L'Sei Samer T'Mitzrayim L'Emor B'chule. So the Midrash says, points out that the Torah was given through three means. And they are fire, Esh, Maim, and Midbar. Fire, water, and Midbar. And then the Midrash brings the sources. The source of the Midbar that the Torah is given through the Midbar is our Sedra. As we said, he spoke to Moshe, the Midbar Sinai. The Torah was given in the desert, as we know. Rabir Shapira Miluvlin says these three things the Torah is given through, fire, water, and Midbar, it tells us three ways, or in three circumstances, and how the Torah must be sometimes kept. One of them is personal mesiras nefesh. A person has to sometimes himself be mosir nefesh for the Torah. Sometimes it requires that tzibur's mesiras nefesh. And other times the Torah has to be kept sometimes for quite a length of time under difficult circumstances. That we find by the Esh, Maim, and Midbar. How so? The Esh is personal Mesiras Nefesh. That's why Esh. That's Avram Avinu, who was Moser Nefesh personally in going into the Kivshan Esh. Second is water. That represents the Tzibur's Mesiras Nefesh. How so? When they got to the Yamsuf, that the tribe of Yehuda, led by Nachshon ben Aminadav, went into the water as Moser Nefesh. The whole Tzibur, whole tribe was Moser Nefesh. So water represents the Tzibur's Moser Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh, and finally, Midbar, desert, that's the third idea. The idea of sometimes we have to be Moser Nefesh, even for a length of time. And so too, here, Klal Yisrael, we're in the Midbar for 40 years, live in the conditions of a Midbar for 40 years. Those are represented by Esh, Maim, and Midbar. I saw another idea. Based on Midrash's continuation, why Dafka did Hashem give the Torah through the Esh, Maim, and Midbar? That just like these three things, as the Midrash, are free, right? Air, water, Midbar, they're things, they don't cost anything. So too, the Torah is also free for the taking. Whoever wants to come and learn the Torah, it's free. It's like these are free, the Torah is free. That's an interesting question. The Chura at Har Sinai, Maim and Har Sinai, there was also air. Right? Sama is air. And if that's the case, why doesn't the Midrash point out that the Torah was given also with air? And now there was fire, you know, there was water, there was the Midbar, it was air. And air, you know, there's nothing more free than air is. You know, like the old anti-Semitic joke, you know, why do Jews have big noses? Because air is free. Right, so air is something that's free for the taking. It's all over the place. So why does it say the Torah was given through air? So on the Sefer Otzor Satori brings a fascinating Ben Yoyada. The Ben Yishchai is in Maseches Shabbos Daf Kum Mem Vav. There, Ben Yoyada says an unbelievable thing. He says that when Hashem brought the fires, we said the Torah was given through fire. When Hashem brought the fire down at Har Sinai, says the fire dispersed the air. So at Maim at Har Sinai, says there was no air. Okay? There was no air at Har Sinai. And therefore, Klal Yisrael lived at that time miraculously. Because of course, you can't live very long without air. Har Sinai, they miraculously lived without air. And he said that explains the pasuk that is very, of course, very difficult to understand. So at Maim at Har Sinai, it says, Va'am ro'im at sakolos. Right, the nation saw the sounds. Of course, you don't. You don't see sounds. You hear sounds. What's pshat? They saw the sounds. Different explanations. So according to this, it's pasha. Says because in order if sounds, you could in theory should be able to see sound because sounds produce air waves. Right, there's waves in the air. Sound waves. There's sound waves in the air. So he said, Elamai, how come we don't see them? They're going right by us, but we don't see these sound waves, even though they're right there, there. He says, because the air is, he says, it's like in your eyes, and he said, you can't see the sound waves. So Mele had Maimon Har Sinai, there was no air, so now Ro'im HaSakalot, they're able to see the, we're able to see the sound waves right in front of their eyes. Anyways, according to this, this answers Pashtus the question. We say, why doesn't the Midrash say that a Torah was given, you know, through air, just like air is free? Because there was no air at Har Sinai, as we said. The only thing left to explain is why would Hashem do a miracle like that? An open way. Hashem doesn't do miracles for nothing. It's a miracle. He takes away the air, you know, at Har Sinai because of the fire, and we live without having to breathe. That moment. Why would Hashem do such a thing? So again, the Sefer says that it's coming to teach us that a person has to be has to keep this, the Torah, even if sometimes it means keeping it missing some vital essentials like air. Okay, not obviously that's quite extreme not to have any air, but it's to bring out the point that you have to keep the Torah even when you don't have some of the basic essentials of life. You can't say, okay, well, no, I can't learn now, I don't have this, I don't. No, you have to keep the Torah even if you're missing air. You still have to learn Torah. He brings the famous Rambam. Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Ches, Kol ish Yisrael chayev b'Talmud Torah. He says every single yid is chayev to learn Torah. Bein ani, bein asher. Whether he's poor, whether he's rich. Bein shalem bugufo, bein bal yisurim. Whether he's healthy, whether he has a lot of yisurim. Bein bachur, whether he's young. Bein shehaya zaken gadol, v'tashash chokor. Whether he's really old and weak. Doesn't matter, still has to learn Torah. Afilu ani emachazer abtachim. Right? Even if he's a poor man, he's knocking on doors, he has nothing so bad, he can't, doesn't have anything, he has to knock on doors, he also has to learn Torah. Vafilu bali shau banim, even if he's married with children, still chayav likbo lo zman l'talmud Torah, still has to be kovei of time for learning, b'yom v'alayla, day and night, sh'nemar v'gisa bo yamam v'alayla. So everybody, no excuse, every single person, whoever he is, what he has, he has to learn. Agai, so I want you, interesting, do you, the list over here is like getting, you know, worse and worse. You know, you start off, okay, with Richard Pornet goes into, and even this, and even this, and even if he's so poor, he has to knock on doors. And what's the last thing the Rambam says? Like the Kilo, like this, and even the final thing, and even a Baal Yishao Bani, right? Even somebody's married, has kids, even he has to still learn. It's like, I can't be, you know. Yeah, even he has to learn. Okay. Anyways, there's also a Maisa with Rav Shach. Talking about learning when you're, you know, in difficult conditions. So once it was a boiling hot day outside, a chamsin. It was boiling hot, and Rav Shach was learning in his home or whatever, and he was schwitzing like crazy or whatever, but he was learning. So one of the Talmidim came in, and it was boiling in the house, and he sees Rav Shach was, you know, still like learning and like schwitzing like crazy, but he didn't stop learning. So the Rav Shach turned to the Talmid, and he says, "Is it just me, or is it hot in here?" You know. So the Talmid says, "It's like a furnace in here, and I can't believe it." So what happened? It was very hot, we said. So Rav Shach went and he turned on the air conditioner. You know, it was boiling hot. But by accident, instead of turning on to cool, he turned it on to heat. So besides being boiling hot outside, he turned it on. The heater was going full blast. And what? He's learning. Schwitzing, but he's learning. That's learning under every condition. Okay. It says in the Pasuk, Ish Rosh Leve Savosav Hu. So someone will learn out, Derech Drush, that a person shouldn't rely on his pedigree, his yichus only. He said, look at my father, or my father was this, my grandfather was this. Person has Rosh Leveis Avasav Hu, right? He has to take care of himself, right? He has to make sure that he has good, he's good himself, not just rely on his yichus. Like there was once a, someone who's a Ben Shell, as they call him, right? The son of, you know, he's he himself was nothing, you know, but I'm the son of, and he's always bragging about who his father, his grandfather was, whatever. And happened to be that the Rav of his community was somebody who didn't have Yichus. He was his father was a tailor or whatever. And so he used to brag to the Rav, you know, and say how, you know, oh, my father, this, my father, that, and who. So one day, you know, the same thing. Oh, you know, Rabbi, you know, my father's this and this, and who are you? Who is your father? You know, nobody. So the Rav commented to him, he said, listen. He says, your book of Yichus, your book of pedigree, he says, ends with you. Whereas my book of pedigree begins with me. So that's the difference. So Maisa with Satmar Rav, once he was, his Rebbe was, there's a driver was driving him around, and he sees on the side of the street, a yid that looked like a Rebbe. You know, it was like his silver, you know, walking stick and long bag. You know, he looked like a Rebbe. Cause, but the Satmar Rebbe didn't recognize him as a known Admor of any of the time, you know. So he tells his driver, here, pull over to the side, I want to, you know. So he pulls over and he tells this Rebbe to, you know, get into the car. So he offers him a seat next to him. So he comes in, you know, sits down. So Satmar Rebbe turns to him and he says, and who are you exactly? So he says, I'm the Neched. I'm the grandson. So the Rebbe's like, okay. And whose grandson are you exactly? So he says, I'm the grandson of Avram Avinu. So the Rebbe knew who he was dealing with now. And he says, oh yeah? He says, from which wife? Okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein points out usually the Parshas B'Midbar is read before Shavuos, which it is this year also, but not. We have another Parsha ahead of us before Shavuos, but usually it's the Shabbos before Shavuos. And he says the one of the ideas why we read B'Midbar before Chag Matan Torah is that. One thing that can interfere from a person's growth in Torah is that he can, because he might, you know, think of himself as a nobody. He says, who am I? You know, me, and I'm a nobody. You know, this guy has this, he's great, he has potential, he has a good brain, he has good fisa. Who am I? I'm a miyani, who am I? So therefore, before the Chag HaShavuos, we are asked to read B'Midbar. What's B'Midbar? The census. Census, and a census is not like this guy's worth 5 points, this guy's worth, everybody's the same. One, everybody's the same. You can be great, but everybody's the same. So just to realize that if you're a Yid, you're a Yid, and all Yidden are the same. You can be Moshe, you're an Aaron, everybody's one point in the census. And therefore, just to realize that just being a Yid, you're important, and then you can grow in Torah. Okay, it says in the Pasuk V'yiseldu al mishpachosam levei sabosam, also Derek Drush Rav Monk, used to say that if a person is lost and he's not sure which way to go, i.e. in life, you know, what's the right way, what's the right path in life. So he says, levei sabosam. You also always have to look at your who you follow the, you know, Mesorah. Mesorah of your father, your grandfather, Mesorah of the Torah. You don't know where you're going, levei sabosam. He says, look at your past. So there's a maisa with a maskil, and he was given aliyah in the shul. So he gets up, says baruch whatever, and he starts the bracha. You know, asher bracha bani mikol amim, benasan lanu, es toraso. You know, oh, he's so happy. Shem, you know, gave us the Torah, etc. So the Rav was looking at him, and he says, he couldn't believe this guy. You know, this guy is a mosque. He doesn't keep the Torah or anything. What is he so happy about? Asher nasan lanu, es toraso. Hashem gave us the Torah. What is he so happy about? He doesn't keep the Torah bracha. So he couldn't understand. After thinking about it a little bit, the Rav felt, now I know. Now I know why this guy's so happy that Hashem gave us the Torah. Why? He says, because what does he do? This guy copies the Goyim, right? Whatever the Goyim do, he does. You know, they wear an earring in one ear, he wears an earring. You know, they have a ponytail, so he wears a ponytail. As ridiculous as a look, it doesn't matter. Whatever the Goyim do, that's what I do. Okay? So, this guy's like, thinking about it, he's, wow, you know, boy, am I happy. Am I lucky that Kosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to the Yidden and not to the Goyim? Because if you give the Torah to the Goyim, I have to keep the Torah also. So Baruch Hashem, you know, he gave it. So Mele, when he says, Asher Nasan Lanu, he gave us, meaning the Jewish people, the Torah. Thank you, Hashem, for giving the Jewish people the Torah. Because it's much easier for me to wear an earring, wear a ponytail. I know that I have to keep the Torah. If you would have given the Torah to the goyim, I'd have to do that as well. So thank you very much for giving them, the Jewish people, the Torah. So there was the Briskerov used to say that there was used to have in Europe a something called the Pinkas Takanos. Each kehila used to have like a book of decrees, takanot, that the communities would have to do and would keep. And how they did, each Rav that became the Rav of the community, he was asked to add a takana or two or three, whatever, his own, and then it used to build up as each new rabbi would be the Maradas. So one such community, they brought in a new Rav, and they said, okay, Rabbi, what would you like to add to the takanot of the community? So he says, okay, take out your pen. I said, okay, so get ready. You ready to start writing? He says, yeah. He says, okay, number one is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hatzitzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Second, Lo Yelecha Elohim Acharim Al Panah. Kul Eichu. So he says, Rabbi, what are you telling me the Ten Commandments for? He says, because I know these people, right? What's written in the takanats, the decrees, the people make, the rabbis, everybody's so excited about doing, but they're more excited about doing the takanas than they are about the Aseres Hadibros. So therefore, I figured I'll put the Aseres Hadibros in the takanas and I'll be, excited about doing the Aseres Hadibros as well. It says in the Pasuk, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Beis, says, Libnei Yosef, Libnei Ephraim, etc. So it's very difficult, Lashon, because Ephraim, he's the son of Yosef. So it sort of said, Livnei Yosef, to the sons of Yosef. Ephraim, but doesn't this go straight into Ephraim? After Livnei Yosef, it says again, Livnei Ephraim, as if we're starting fresh from Ephraim again. So the Baal HaTurim points this out, and it says, V'lo amar Livnei Yosef el Ephraim. Why? Lefisha Yosef, Lo nasa b'mita saviv. He didn't carry his father's coffin, Yosef. Why? Mishum kavod malchus, since he was like a melech. So it wasn't kavodik for him to carry his father's coffin. Lachein lo ratza limnoto b'degalim. That's why when it came to the flags of the Galim, they didn't include him in the count over here. V'nikra ha'degal ha'shem banav. And therefore he was counted only through his sons, Livnei Yosef, Livnei Ephraim, his son, he himself not, because he didn't carry his father's coffin. That's a Baal HaTurim. So the question is obvious. Why didn't he carry his father's coffin? He said, Kavod Malchus. He wasn't supposed to, wasn't allowed to, wasn't covered for him to carry it. So Mele, why was he being punished? Right? He was taken upon. No, we're not going to count you separately, only after your son, because you didn't carry the coffin. He wasn't supposed to. He wasn't allowed to carry the coffin. He was a melech and wasn't a covered for him, the Baal HaTurim says. So why was he punished by not being counted over here? So the Sabbath Mikhelm says, we see here a big yisod. And that is, sometimes a person, because of his circumstances, might be putter for something. He's supposed to do a mitzvah, whatever. He's an onus. Something comes up, he can't, whatever. And very often people think, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to do this mitzvah. I'm putter. And it's not my fault. I'm an onus. I can't help it. I don't have to daven today. Why? I have a stomach problem. Whatever. But I'm feeling, no, I don't have to. I'm putter. I'm an onus, right? The smile on his face, So you should realize, he says to Sabbath Mikhail, even though, okay, it's true, you're not going to be punished for not doing this and this and this, that you're, putter. But you should realize, though, it's not like you did it either. You think you're going to come up to after 120 years and be sitting with all the great people because, you didn't have to do this and didn't have to do this and you didn't. No. Okay, maybe you're not going to be punished for what you were known as for, but you have to realize not doing is like you did either. It's not the same. So you have to be rewarded. You're not going to be rewarded for doing either. And therefore, it's true. It wasn't Yosef's fault for, doing. He had to do what he had to do. But he didn't get the schus either of carrying his father's coffin, and he lost the schus of being counted as well. Pasuk says in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Nun Aleph, it says, "Ubin soa hamishkan yoridu osur alavim." When the mishkan was traveling, so the levim took it down. Uvachanos hamishkan yakimu oso. And then when they finally encamped, then the levim would put it up. So Rav Moshe Mikubrin, Al Derech Drush, says that the way it is very often that when a person's traveling, you know, going from here, going there, and it causes a yirida in ruchnius. You know, if you're only when you're set in one place, you're at home, you're in yeshiva, whatever, and you're set, so then you grow in ruchnius. But you're traveling, going from here to there, whatever, you're on the move. It's very often it's a yirida in ruchnius. That's why a person has to be careful, you know, when going on tiulim, etc. Sitting and learning, whatever, sitting in your place. So once you're traveling around, you can't help but, you know, it causes yirida. So that's, I remember when I was my first day in the army, right? So the first night we had to spend in the tent somewhere, whatever, and it was for the first night in the army. Okay, so next morning we got up. And so we had a minyan, you know, made a minyan for shacharis. So go to the minyan, etc. And then you're davening shacharis. And then it came time for birkas kohanim. You know I'm a kohen. And I look down at my feet and I say, oh no. No, I'm wearing these army boots. It takes like 3 hours to tie these things up. And I said, untie all these things and take them off and then tie them up again. And then have to, of course, your hands, you have to wash your hands again because it's day. And I'm saying, oh, forget it. So I'm like, you know, maybe I'll just step out before it say, you know what I mean? So that was my, it was like crossing my mind there, you know. And then I thought to myself, I said, you know, come on, you know, it's the first day in the army, already, you know, Yerida and Rokhani, you already can't take off your shoes, you know, already you're beginning, you know, that's what we said, like, you're not in your set environment, so I said, no, I'm doing it, I took my shoes off, I don't care, and I took it off, I do it, you know, supposed to, but this is the idea, a person's, you know, traveling, doing it away from home, whatever, it's different, you have to be very careful. So there's a hint to it, therefore, he says in the Pasuk, V'insoa HaMishkan, When it's traveling, when the Mishkan's traveling, what? It says, Yeridu, also all of you. There's a Yerida. But Vachanosa Mishkan, then Yakimu. When there's encampment, when you're set in one place, then Torah is Mekuyan. Rav Naftali Mirupshitz, this is a hint in a couple of Kapitel Tillim. In the famous Kapitel, we say, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha. He says, Ashrei starts, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha. So if you're sitting in one place, then the Kapitel ends, Tehilas Hashem Yedaber Pi. Says, but the capital in Kuf Yotes, when the Psukim there says, Ashrei Tmimi Darech, when a person's on the Derech, like we said, so then how does that capital end? Ta'isi Kase Oved. Then I'm led astray like sheep. So when you're traveling, mele, like we said, it causes Yerida. It was a Maisa with Chassid, and he was leaving Poland. He had to go for an extended business trip to Germany. So he went to his Rebbe for a bracha before the trip. So the Rebbe said, okay, gave him a bracha. And he says, you're going to Germany? Maybe you could do me a favor. He says, sure, Rebbe, anything you want. He says, well, I always wanted an ivory pipe, you know, a smoking pipe, you know, from Germany. Do you think you could pick me up a German smoking, you know, pipe? So the Chassid said, oh, sure, Rabbi, you know, that's all you want, you know, no problem, I'll get it for you. So, oh, thank you so much. Okay. So he went on his trip to Germany. He was there for quite a while, a few months, and he came back, and as soon as he arrives back in Poland, he's like, oh, I don't believe it. So I forgot the pipe. Forgot to buy Rebbe the pipe. Oh, what am I going to do? I want to go into the Rebbe and I say Shalom Aleichem. I don't have his pipe. So he's thinking, what should I do? And he said, oh, okay, I have an idea, of course. So what, I'll just go to the, you know, the Walmart here, Poland, and I'll, you know, buy a pipe, imported pipe from Germany, you know, what's, you know, give him, you know, that's all, the pipes here from Germany, what's the big deal? So he goes to the department store, and he looks at it, oh, here, picks out a pipe, oh, perfect, German smoking pipe, wonderful, and he buys it, no. So he comes into the, now he's confident, feels good, comes into the Rebbe, says, ah, Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe, long time no see, da, 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 whatever. So Rebbe says, Anu, did you get me my pipe? He says, ah, Rebbe, of course, I got your pipe. Pulls out his pipe, gives him the pipe. So Rebbe's examining the pipe, and he notices on the bottom there's a sticker, it says, made in Germany. You know, it looks like it was imported, you know, it was like made in Germany. So he looks at the chassid and he says, well, what's going on over here? He says, this is like an imported pipe, you know, made in Germany. Well, what's going on? So okay, he caught him red-handed and he said, okay, Rebbe, you know, I'm sorry, it's true, you know, I forgot about it, but you see, it doesn't matter, because I got you a smoking German pipe anyway, so what's the big deal? You know, you got your pipe, so everything's fine, right? So the Rebbe says, you idiot. No, it's not fine. He said, don't you understand? He said, do you think I need an ivory German smoking pipe? He said, I really need that, you know? I don't need that. The reason why I told you to pick this up when you're in Germany, because I knew you're going to be, like we said, on the derech and traveling here and there, and it causes yirida and neruchnias, and before you know it, you're going to forget everything. So therefore, by first having to look for the pipe, going buying the pipe, holding on to the pipe, you're going to constantly remember your Rebbe. Right? Me, who asked you to get the pipe. And once you remember me, so you remember the base measures, the tefillah, you remember the ruchnias. And it was to encourage you to remember the ruchnias. And you blew it. Okay. It says in the Pasuk, Pekod es v'nei Levi, levei savosan l'mishko sam, kol zachari ben chodesh malatif g'nei. So Moshe was commanded to count the Levim from 1 month, etc. So the question is asked, why is it that by the counting of the rest of Klal Yisrael, always says, Lugul gul asam levesel vasam. Lugul gul golet is a skull. You know, it's like you said, to call it like a head count, right? So they're counted by head count all. But when it came to Bnei Levi, it doesn't say that. This says, Kol zachar mi ben chodesh l'mala. It doesn't say in the Google or something, the feed their heads. There's a famous answer. There's different sources. One says there's a midrash, actually, that says that the king of the demons, the king of the Shadim, brought in front of Shlomo Melech someone with two heads. And the Shade asked Shlomo Melech, this person here with two heads, what's his din legabe tefillin? You know, does he put his tefillah on this head, on that head, on both heads, on no head, whatever? What's the din over here? So Shlomo said, it's not a question that is mitzvuti. It's not a real question. Why? He says, because somebody who's born with two heads, he says, like a trefa. He's not going to live more than a year. So mainly, he's not going to make it to his bar mitzvah when he has to put on his tefillah anyways. So the question is not nogeya. Which head to put on filling. He's not going to make it to the age. He's going to have to put on filling anyways. So forget it. Nothing to talk about. So, Mela, based on that, they want to say that the wise that say by Levi, it doesn't say Kol Zachar L'Gul Asam, because Levi, as we said, they were counted from 1 month. So a kid could be born with two heads. He won't live to be a year old, but 1 month could be. So, since they have to count each person, and you want to know how many people there are, not how many heads, how many people there were, but since you can have a kid that is before a year old, he can still have two heads, if they would count the Levim head count, they might count, you know, two heads from one person to get the wrong count. And therefore, that's why it doesn't say Lugugo Sam, there's no head count by the Levim, because there might be somebody with two heads. But with Yisrael, when would the age were they counted by? By 20. So by 20, you can't have two heads anymore. Already after a year, you can't have two heads. So Mela, there's no problem counting the Google Asam by rest of Klal Yisrael. There's no problem. There's nobody there is going to have two heads. So you have to worry you're going to have the wrong count. That's the famous answer. So I saw this year a brought down from Rav, what's his name? Rav Shlomo Cohen, from Shilas and Shuvah's Binyan Shlomo. And he doesn't like this answer. You know, it's a famous answer. He says because I didn't see the source, but he says that whoever was born in the Midbar, they were born without a mum. They're not born with any mumim. So Mele, you don't have the problem. You can count the Google Asam by Levi also that were at 1 month, because there's no kid that was born that was that had two heads, because that's a mum, and there's nobody born with a mum in the Midbar, so that can't be the reason why they didn't count, you know, a head count by the Levim. That's what he asks. So he gives his own pair. So therefore, why? I guess, so then, why? Why doesn't it say Lugugul Osam, you know, head count by the Levi? So he says a nice chat. Says Rashi said that since the Levi had to be counted from 1 month, so what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu had a problem. You know, Rashi says he came to the you know, tent, and he has to count. These are babies. You know, some of them are 1 month old. You know, they're being nursed. So Moshe says, what am I going to do? I can't, you know, when I get barge in and count the kids, it's not sneeze. You know, they're being nursed, these little kids. So Moshe says, what am I going to do? So Hashem says, don't worry, you just do what you can do, and I'll take care of the rest. So Moshe just went to the tent, but he did the door, but he didn't go in, you know, it's not sneeze. He stood outside. And it says, the Shekhinah was Makdama, came, and a baskol came out and said, in this tent there are so-and-so many Levim. Ah. So Meili says, based on that, he says, very nice. He says, it comes out that Moshe didn't and couldn't make a head count of all the Levim. Because at least the little Levims, right, there were only a month or whatever, he couldn't count them. Thing. He had to just stand outside the tent and hear. Mele, he was not counting any heads. He just heard the count. And Mele, that's why he doesn't say, Google Asam by the Levim, because he didn't count them all. He didn't count them all, but the, you know, they some he could, but the ones that were in the tent, he couldn't count. And Mele didn't say, Google Asam by the Levim. Okay. I'll just end with one last vort from the Or Sameach. It's a classic Or Sameach, Meshech Chochma. It says by at the end of the parsha, Perek Dalad and Pasuk Gimel, Beit Gimel. It says Nasas Rosh Bnei Kahas. So we were commanded to count the Levim, the Bnei Kahas, Mi Ben Shloshim Shana, etc. Kol Haba Latzava Lasos Melacha. They had to count those that were able to work, do their job as a Levim. So there it says Kol Haba Latzava Lasos Melacha. Note the lashon to do melacha. However, in next week's sedra, when it talks about merari kahas, there it says zos avodas mishpachot b'nei mari l'chol avodasam lo el moed. So he points out very strange. Why over here by kahas it says melacha, and over there next week's sedra by merari kahas it says avodasam avodah. Why the difference? So he says, explains, what is the difference between milacha and avodah? So he says, mechamer, we have as one of the Suri Shabbos is mechamer. You can't lead your behema on Shabbos. Okay? The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, though, that mechamer is not a milacha. Okay? It's a person, it's not chai chiyuv, you know, skila karis, it's just a chiyuv malchus. It's not a milacha. As opposed to carrying something is, of course, the malachah. It's one of the three malachas, hotzah. Ah. Mimeli says, very good. That B'nai Merari, right, what did they do? What was their job? They carried the parts of the Mishkan, the various parts of the Mishkan, but how did they carry it? They carried it, they put it on animals. Mimeli, what would they do? They didn't do malachah, because we said, mechamer is not a malachah. So Mela by Bnei Merari and by Merari, what does it say? It says Avodah. Okay. However, by Kahas, what did they do? They carried the Aron. The Aron, they're not allowed to put on an animal. They had to carry it themselves. So Mela, they were actually carrying. They were doing Hotzah, not on animals, but they were doing Melacha. So Mele, in our Sedra, when it talks about Bnei Kahat, who carried themselves the Aaron, they were doing Malacha, it says, Lasos Malacha. Whereas by Merari, they were doing their Malacha by putting the thing on the animals. It wasn't in real Malacha, because we said as a Mechamer is not Malacha. And therefore, by them, it only says, Lashon, different Lashon of Avoda, not Malacha. Shbiyal Zoiche, ourselves, to see the coming of Mashiach, Tzidkenu, Bimhir v'yameinu. Amen.